You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Qatar Airways announced that they would be taking a 25% stake in Airlink, a local airline in South Africa. And I'm joined on the line by Guy Leach, editor at SA Flyer and Flight.com, or Flight.com, sorry, to take a look at this and try and understand what the deal means for our airline space in South Africa and, more importantly, for investments into South Africa. Good evening, Guy. Thanks so much for taking the time. Certainly a interesting development to come out of Qatar Airways. Why the particular interest in Airlink? Can you tell us more about the deal?
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. Nice to be with you and your listeners. Well, actually, it's a wonderful deal because, look, it's not a surprise. It's been in the offing for the last 3 months, although there was a lot of speculation as to exactly what airline it was going to be. I thought it might, in fact, be an airline outside of South Africa, like Angola's Dog. Turns out it's Airlink, and I think it's a wonderful vote of confidence in Airlink, and not just in Airlink, but in the new South African government, if you like, in the GNU, because there's no real change. Let's just remember that Airlink already had a codeshare deal with Qatar, so you could buy a ticket on Qatar and fly on an Airlink plane or vice versa. No change from a passenger's point of view, but what it does really show is that there's a great vote of confidence in both Airlink management, particularly Roger Foster, who started the airline and has been the CEO for about 30 years, and of course the South African role in the broader regional economy, because Airlink is a feeder airline. It connects South Africa to the whole of Southern Africa and as far afield as Madagascar and St. Helena. And that's what they're trying to do. There's a push factor coming in from the north side, in that there are worrying signs that the central, let's call it the Middle Eastern economy or airline industry and the Far Eastern industry are going a bit post-growth. So they're frantically scouting around for more opportunities. And we're seeing, in a sense, another like colonial scramble for Africa. And I think that the real driver for this particular deal is that Qatar wanted to make sure it grabbed Airlink, quite frankly, before Etihad or Emirates got hold of it, because they're looking to use their influence to actually expand their footprint across Africa.
Mm. Guy, when we look at the South African landscape, there have been a myriad of business rescues, companies going bust, airlines, and the space that we deal with has been quite tumultuous of late. And I wonder if we start to see these kinds of investments from the likes of Qatar, where you have much bigger financial muscle coming in behind you as an airline, what does that mean for this capital intensive industry that we have? And what does it mean for not only competitiveness, but things like pricing and just the landscape in South African airline and aviation in general?
Yeah, you're right on the money there, Jimmy, because the airline industry has been a really tough environment, particularly the low-cost carriers. We saw the demise of Kulula and Mango. But Airlink has carved out its own niche, and its only real competitor is Semair. And Airlink has been very fastidious in building its balance sheet, so much so that it was able to survive COVID virtually unscathed and further take the injury or the insult even of a further knock of losing a billion rand to SAA in terms of unsold tickets, of unflown tickets. Airlink has always been a really great airline, and it's had its own share of the market, which it's coveted. Look, it's also really expensive to fly on Airlink. I mean, you look at the prices of a short sector, you know, it flies to Bloemfontein or Kimberley or Vic Falls, and it flies to the big tourist destinations, and the seats are expensive. So I'm hoping that one of the consequences of this will be to finally move Airlink up to the next level, to move it into a single aisle or what we call narrow body airliners. Instead of flying 75 to 100 seater airliners, it'll fly 182 seater Boeing 737s or Airbus A320s, and that'll bring down the price of tickets a lot.
Guy, the acquisition by Qatar Airways is not the only thing that they've been shopping around for on the continent. I see they've been eyeing Rwanda Air in Rwanda as well. Is this something, I mean, you touched on it earlier to say that they might be looking at a bigger play on the African continent. Is this probably the first of many to come?
Well, the Rwanda Air 49% purchase was probably in real terms the first key deal. And let's not forget that they're also buying into Kigali Airport. Well, they're building a new airport for Kigali. So, what I'm saying is that we're seeing a shift in focus to the business opportunities that Africa presents. Africa is projected to grow its airline industry at 5.8% per annum by the World Bank, and that's a really good number, particularly because we're seeing that as Africa sort of the Africa Renaissance stumbles along, we're building a middle class, and it's the middle class who flies. It's the middle class who will suddenly demand. And we're also seeing enormous, significant moves towards liberalization, which means opening the skies to competitors. So not every airline is state-owned. And that, again, will have wonderful benefits for both tourism and obviously bringing down the cost of air tickets. That's why South African air tickets, internal air tickets, domestic air tickets are wonderfully cheap compared to the rest of Africa, because we've had a really cutthroat, open, liberalized environment for the last 30 years.
Guy, when we look at the international space, I bring it up because something like an airline like Qatar Airways flies to specific destinations, but also they're the largest shareholder of the parent company of British Airways, which allows them to assert a certain level of dominance as well at a global level. Is this something where you're the size of Qatar Airways and you're saying, I can achieve greater efficiencies by just owning a lot of the smaller guys?
Well, what they're doing is they're taking strategic stakes in airlines like IAG, and which is the holding company of British Airways, Air France, quite a number of other airlines, and that gives them, in a sense, the ability to keep out other competition. The airlines are going through a really good period right now post COVID. They're really raking in the money. I've just returned from 2 weeks of intensive traveling around Europe, and let me tell you, it was hard to get a ticket on any flight. Almost every flight was full, and the prices, the yields were very good as well. So airlines are making money hand over fist right now, and it's been really good for Qatar to get in there. And as I said, I think one of their key objectives, particularly under their previous CEO, was to make sure that they got ahead of the opposition in terms of getting strategic shareholdings in other airlines. So now they're rolling the model out across Africa, and it's good for Africa. And let's not lose sight of the fact that Qatar is generally considered the best airline in the world in terms of customer service and customer experience.
Guy, before I let you go, I want to look at the African continent in terms of development, or particularly within the aviation space. South Africa still remains quite a central hub for conversations and transport and relationships into the continent in general. Are we starting to see kind of a shift to say South Africa is one of the areas, East Africa might be another one, and there might be another hub emerging sort of to the west or to the north of the continent?
I'm going to disagree with you there. South Africa used to be the in fact, if you remember SAA's slogan was bringing the world to Africa and taking Africa to the world. Well, that's no longer the case. So Johannesburg as a hub has really had to take a big step back to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia and even to Nairobi in Kenya. Fortunately, at this stage, we haven't yet seen the emergence of a hub in West Africa. But South Africa's ability to offer a service or connectivity into Southern Africa, even Southern Africa, is really limited because airlines are adopting a point-to-point model where it means they'll fly to much smaller towns. We've seen Qatar, for instance, even 10 years ago, it launched its direct service to Durban. It flies to Cape Town directly. It flies to about, if I'm not mistaken, about 30 destinations in Africa already, which means that people are not really flying through the hubs as much as they are. And besides, we, as I said, being at the bottom end of the continent, we can't really compete against Addis Ababa.
How do we compete? How do we get back to being that global standard or being the pinnacle of the African continent in the aviation space? Because as you said, there have been challenges. We have dropped the ball a couple of times. How do we get back to the top position?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that I don't think we will.
Okay.
The reality is that SAA will not get back to where it was, at least not in its current model. It did bring the world to Africa, but it's since had its lunch thoroughly eaten by all the other carriers, you know, by Ethiopian in particular. 7 years ago, SAA was by far the unchallenged largest carrier in Africa. Now it's nowhere. Ethiopian is five times the size of SAA. So we're not going to get that back, and we can't compete, especially currently with our lack of capitalization of SAA, with the major carriers who are flying much more modern and better equipped aircraft, particularly in terms of the customer experience. That means in-flight entertainment. I mean, there was a price I saw just quoted today for $4 million just to upgrade one single Airbus A340 of SAAs to current proper IFE, in-flight entertainment. So we're not going to get there unless SAA finds itself another good strategic equity partner and also drops the whole development mandate. You know, yes, in theory, it could be as good or as big as Air New Zealand, which is also an end-of-the-line carrier in terms of the hub-and-spoke network. But SAA is still burdened by a massive political burden of development mandate. And until it sheds that and it gets a capital partner and, for that matter, a skills partner, we're not going to see South Africa being the hub it once was. And quite frankly, geography is now against it.
Interesting thoughts and reflections on the airline space in South Africa. We'll certainly need to have another conversation around this. I think there's a lot more to unpack here, but for now we've run out of time. Thanks so much, Guy, for those insights. Guy Leach, editor at SA Flyer and Flightcom, on the acquisition of 25% of Airlink by Qatar Airways.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.